friends. Welcome back. It's Destiny. Today we're going to read one of the longer books in the Junie B. Jones series. It's called Junie B. Jones, Dumb Bunny by Barbara Park. Chapter 1. Dumb Bunnies and Clucks. Monday. Dear First Grade Journal, Dumb Bunny, Dumb Bunny, Dumb Bunny. I am not allowed to say Dumb Bunny on account of my teacher heard me call May that name on the playground. And he said for me to knock it off. Only here's something that I just thought of. Even if I can't say Dumb Bunny out loud, I can still think it inside my head. 'Cause heads are silent. Which is what I like about heads. I'm going to try that now. I put my pencil down and I looked at May. Then I squinted my eyes real teensy. And I thought of that name just to myself. Dumb Bunny, Dumb Bunny, Dumb Bunny, Dumb Bunny. May looked suspicious at me. What are you doing, Junie B. Jones? Why are you squinting like that? Stop it right now. Stop that squinting. I paused my squint. I am not just squinting at you, May. I am also thinking a name about you inside of my head, but you don't even know what name I'm thinking because heads are silent, which is what I like about heads, I said. May frowned. I started my squint again. Dumb bunny, dumb bunny, dumb bunny, dumb bunny, dumb bunny, I thought. After that, I finished, and I brushed my hands together very satisfied. There, I said. That ought to hold me for a while, I said. May kept on frowning. Then, blam! She exploded right out of her chair, and she zoomed to the front of the room. Mr. Scary, Mr. Scary, Junie B called me that name again. I know she did, only she thought it inside of her head, and it's just plain sneaky. Mr. Scary was writing at his desk. He closed his eyes, and he did a big breath. May, what are our 3 new rules about tattling? You and I came up with these 3 new rules to control your tattling, remember? Can you tell me what they are, please? May stood there for a real long time. She did not like the 3 new rules, I believe. Finally, she started to say them. Rule number 1. Count to 20 before I tattle, she grumped. Mr. Scary nodded. Yes, May. Excellent. That's the first rule. Go on. Rule number 2, said May. If I still feel like tattling, count to 20 again. Mr. Scary did a thumbs up. Yes, good. And rule number 3? May sucked in her cheeks. Rule number 3. If I still feel like tattling after that, go home. Eat dinner, go to bed, wake up, eat breakfast, come back to school, raise my hand to tattle, then put my hand over my mouth. And please be quiet, she said. Mr. Scary clapped his happy hands. Perfect. You've got it. Those are exactly the rules that we talked about, aren't they? I'm very proud of you for remembering them. He stood up and walked her back to her chair. You have a great memory for rules, May, he said. But the next step is to actually follow the rules, okay? And I don't believe that you counted to 20 this time, did you? I leaned over and I tapped on him. I can vouch for that, I said. There was definitely no counting. Mr. Scary frowned at me. I'll deal with you in a minute, Mrs. Jones. You and I are going to review the rules on name-calling. I did a gulp. But I didn't even call her a name, Mr. Scary. All I did was think of a name inside of my head, I said. May flashed her angry eyes. No, you did not just think it, Junie B. Jones. You told me you were thinking it, and that is exactly like saying it, almost, she said. She went on. Plus, you didn't even think it quietly. You thought it so loud that I could hear it in your brain. May looked up at Mr. Scary. My ears were tested last year in kindergarten, she said. The nurse said I can hear as good as a North American barn owl. Mr. Scary stared at her for a long time.
No, May, no. I'm sorry, he said finally, but the nurse did not tell you that. You do not hear as well as the North American barn owl. May squirmed in her chair a little bit. Squirming is what happens after fibbing. At least, that has always been my experience. After a minute, May put her head down on her desk, and she covered up with her sweater. Mr. Scary bent down next to me. And as for you, Miss Jones, this is the absolute last time that I ever want to hear talk about you name-calling. And I don't want you to say dumb bunny or think dumb bunny or sing dumb bunny or hum dumb bunny or write dumb bunny. Do you understand? I tapped my fingers on my desk. But then what am I supposed to do when May is mean to me? I asked him. I have to call her something or else she won't even know I'm mad. I thought for a second. Then I clapped my hands together. Hey, I know. Maybe I could just think the dumb part in my head and I'll just call her plain dumb, just plain bunny. Would plain bunny be okay with you? May popped up from under her sweater. No, 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 she grouched. Just plain bunny isn't nice either. My friend named Sheldon stood up. Bunny isn't nice? How come bunny isn't nice, he asked. I have an aunt named Bunny and she's very, very nice. Sheldon looked at Mr. Scary. My Aunt Bunny is married to my Uncle Vern, he said. My Aunt Bunny, she has lots of... And Mr. Scary quick held his hand up. Yes, Sheldon, we know. You've told us many interesting things about your Aunt Bunny. But right now, we don't need to hear any more about your Aunt Bunny's... Skull tattoos, said Sheldon. Please sit down, said Mr. Scary. Across the room, Lucille sprang right up. Well, I love, love, love Bunny, she said. And so this subject is perfect timing for me because I'm having a big party at my giant house on Saturday and all of you are invited to come. She bounced up and down real excited. And guess what else? A very famous bunny is going to be there to meet you. Guess who it is, everyone? Guess the bunny. Guess the bunny, she said. Room one thought real hard. Then all of us started to guess at once. Bugs Bunny? Buster Bunny? The Bionic Bunny? Thumper, we guessed. Lucille rolled her eyes. No, 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 no. My bunny is way more famous than those dumb cartoon guys. We guessed some more. The Trix Rabbit? The Velveteen Rabbit? Peter Rabbit, we asked. Lucille stamped her foot. No, she said again. What's wrong with you people? It's the Easter Bunny. Haven't you ever even heard of the Easter Bunny? She reached into her desk and pulled out some fancy envelopes. Then she waved them around real angry. Do you see these invitations? Huh, do you? These are invitations to an Easter egg hunt at my rich, expensive house, and I was going to pass them out at lunch, but if you dumb clucks never even heard of the Easter Bunny, just never mind the whole thing. After that, she did a huffy, and she flounced back into her chair. Mr. Scary hurried over there, and he quick got her up, and he took her by the hand and walked her into the hall. They were gone a long time. When they finally came back, Lucille said she was sorry for calling us dumb clucks. That is some kind of insult, apparently. Then she took the envelopes out of her desk again, and she gave everyone an invitation. And so, yippee yippee, hooray hooray, what room one is going to a party!
Chapter 2. Clothes and Nubs. Lucille was still mad at lunch. I just don't get it, she crouched. How could anyone forget about the Easter Bunny? The Easter Bunny brings candy right to your door. Lenny did a frown at her. He doesn't bring candy to my door, Lucille, he said. Easter Bunny is a different religion than me. I'm Jewish. Shirley nodded. I'm Jewish too, Lucille, she said. I've never even been to an Easter egg hunt before. What do you wear to something like that anyway? Lucille stood up and fluffed herself. Well, since the Easter Bunny and I are the same religion, I'm going to wear a fancy Easter dress, Shirley, she said. Shirley thought for a minute, then she nodded. Then I guess I'll wear a fancy Jewish dress, she said. Lenny's eyes lighted up. Really, Shirley? You mean we have our own clothing line? He asked. He smiled. Then I think I will wear some fancy Jewish pants, he said. My friend named Herbert tapped on his chin. Let's see. I'm a Presbyterian. I guess I should wear Presbyterian pants, he said. He turned and looked at me. Presbyterian means we iron out our wrinkles, I think, he said. Just then, Sheldon slapped the table with his hand. Hey, I know. I'll wear a fancy turban. A fancy turban is religious clothes, right? I love fancy turbans. Mr. Scary was listening to us while he ate. He quick put down his sandwich. Boys and girls, you're getting way off track here. Lucille's Easter egg hunt is not a religious party. Really? I've spoken to her mother about it. It's more of a spring picnic with an Easter egg hunt activity. Am I right, Lucille? Yes, she said. My mother said that the Easter Bunny isn't even working that day. He's just going to hop around the party and smile and have his picture taken with people. I thought about that for a second. I don't think bunnies should smile, I said. Bunnies have yellow teeth like clown teeth, except bunny teeth are way pointier. Sheldon nodded. My Aunt Bunny has a pointy tooth, he said. She can stab a pickle with it, and the pickle just stays there. All of us stared at him. Sheldon has the interestingest family I ever even heard of. Lucille did a big breath. Well, I don't care about pointy bunny teeth, she said. Bunnies have cute floppy ears and puffy fluffy tails and itchy twitchy noses. I kept on picturing their teeth, though. Bunny teeth can nibble your head into a nub, I said. No, they cannot, Junie B. Jones, she said back. Oh, yes, they can, Lucille, whatever your last name is, I said. I saw it on Oprah. Mr. Scary glared at me. I ducked down in my seat, and I quieted my voice. Oprah does have a lot of nub information, I said, very soft. Mr. Scary glared again. I started to squirm. Teachers can spot a fib from a mile away. At recess, Lucille told us more about the party. She said that there was going to be lots of delicious food there to eat. Plus, also, there was going to be an exciting prize for the Easter egg winner. And wait till you hear this, she said. My daddy is going to hide a real pretend golden egg, and whoever finds the golden egg will win the grand prize of the day. And that is a fabulous play date with me, Lucille. She twirled around and hugged herself. And it's not just any old fabulous play date with me either, she said. The winner is going to get to go swimming with me in my heated indoor swimming pool that we just had enclosed. She did a little shiver and rubbed her arms. Isn't that exciting, everyone? She asked. Doesn't that just give you the tinkles? She looked around. Well, doesn't it, huh? Doesn't it make you tinkle all over? She asked. All of the children looked curious at each other. Herbert rocked back and forth on his feet a minute. I think you mean tingles, he said at last. Jose nodded. See, Lucille, you definitely mean tingles, he said. Lucille squinted at those two. Tingles, tinkles, whatever. The point is, a play date with me gives you goosebumps on your arms, she said. Just look at your arms, people. Don't you see them? Don't you see the goosebumps? All of us looked at our arms. and none of us saw goosebumps. We waited and waited real patient. Then finally, goosebumps, shouted Sheldon. I see goosebumps, Lucille. He ran to her and pointed. Look, Lucille, you see them? See my goosebumps, he said. Lucille's face beamed very happy. Oh, Sheldon, those are the goosiest, bumpiest goosebumps I ever even saw. Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for those goosebumps, she said. After that, she gave him a big hug, and she waved her fingers at us. Well, ta-da, everyone. It's time for me to go look at myself in the cafeteria window. Then she shook her shiny hair, and she skipped away. Sheldon kept on standing there. He was shocked from the hug, I think. Then all of a sudden, his whole face lighted up, and he began to shout, Lucille, wait up! I'll look at myself in the cafeteria window, too, he shouted. He took off skipping after her. I smiled to see that. I think Sheldon has a crunch on Lucille, I said to my friend Herbert. Herb looked funny at me. You mean crush, Junie B? He has a crush on Lucille, he said. I started to laugh. Don't be ridiculous, Herbert. It's definitely crunch, I said. I am excellent at expressions. Herb looked funny at me again. I do not know why. After a minute, Sheldon and Lucille skipped past us. They were smiling and giggling and chasing each other. Sheldon was calling to her. Come back here, you springy little lamb, he called. I slapped my knee. Springy little lamb? He called her a springy little lamb. That is a hoot, I said. May heard me talking. It's not funny, Junie Jones. Can't you see what he's doing? She said. Sheldon is trying to get in good with Lucille so that she'll tell him where the golden egg is hidden. He's just trying to win the playdate to swim in her pool. She followed him with her eyes. He's not going to get away with it, though, she said. After that, she cupped her hands around her mouth, and she shouted after him, You can just forget about it, Sheldon Potts. I'm going to be the one who finds that golden egg, not you. I've got eyes like a red-tailed hawk. I looked at her very curious. May has a lot of bird parts, I believe. She is also cuckoo. And that's not name-calling. That's just the truth. Chapter 3, Waiting and Waiting. On Saturday morning, I jumped up out of bed, very excited. Cause today was the day of the party, of course. The Easter egg hunt. Today is the day of the Easter egg hunt, I sang real loud. I ran into Mother and Daddy's room, and I turned on their light. The Easter egg hunt. Today is the day of the Easter egg hunt. I sang it again and again. Mother opened one eyeball. It's not time to get up yet, Junie B, she said. It's still dark outside. Please go back to bed. I put my head next to her face. Yeah, only I don't think that's actually possible, I said, on account of my brain is already activated. Mother put her pillow over her head, and I lifted it up. I'm going to find the golden egg today, I said. I told you about that, right, Mother? Whoever finds that golden egg gets to swim in Lucille's hot water. I hugged myself, very happy. I would love, love, love to swim in hot water, I said. Except for Sheldon and May want that prize, too. Plus, Lucille loves Sheldon, and so maybe she might give him a hint or something. And the hint would not be good. I did a little frown. Plus, here's another problem, I said. May has bird parts, and bird parts can see as good as a hawk. Mother pretended to snore. I did a huffy breath at her. Sometimes mothers do not act like their old age. Finally, I put the pillow back down on her head, and I went back to my room. Then I picked up my stuffed elephant named Philip Johnny Bob, and we skipped to my closet to pick out party clothes. We looked at all my hangers. I said.
What kind of clothes are good egg hunting clothes, do you think, Phil? Philip tapped on his trunk. Well, let's see. Good egg hunting clothes should be easy to run in, probably. 'Cause when you spot an egg, you'll have to beat people to it, right? He asked. Right, I said. Plus, good egg hunting clothes should not be a dress either, on account of sometimes when I am beating people to an egg, I will have to tackle them and get into a scuffle. Correct, said Philip. Tackling and scuffling often happens in egg hunts. He thought some more. Also, good egg hunting clothes should have big pockets to carry all the eggs you're going to find, he said. I nodded. Yes. Plus, good egg clothes have to be pretty. Right, Phil? I said. Because this is a fancy party, you know. I know, said Phil. Egg clothes should definitely be pretty. Like. We looked some more. Then, ha! Both of us spotted the pretty clothes at once. Like those brand new lavender overalls that Mother just bought, we shouted real joyful. Phil threw himself way high in the air. Yes, yes, the brand new lavender overalls will be perfect, Junie B, 'cause lavender is exactly like purple almost, and purple is the color of your favorite glasses. He flung himself in the air again. We are a genius pair at picking egg clothes, he said. Yes. We are a genius, Philip, I said back. I cannot lose the egg hunt in this perfect outfit. After that, I quick put on my lavender overalls. Then me and Philip ran to the window, and we sat down on the floor, and we waited and waited for daylight to come. The party was supposed to start at lunchtime. There was going to be a picnic before the egg hunt. That information was printed right on Lucille's fancy invitation. I read it to Mother and Daddy at breakfast. A picnic lunch will be served on the grounds before the event, I read. I smiled. I enjoy eating on the ground, I said. Mother laughed. Oh, I don't think you'll be eating on the ground, Junie B, she said. Grounds are what rich people call their lawns and gardens. I got down from the table and looked outside. Do we have grounds? I asked. Mother rolled her eyes and looked at Daddy. Heavens no, Junie B, she said. What we have is weeds and crabgrass. Daddy sucked in his cheeks at her. Weeds and crabgrass is an issue, apparently. After breakfast, I waited to be on time to leave. It was the longest morning I ever saw. Then finally, Daddy said it was time to go. And so I ran to the car, lickety-split. Lickety-split is a grown-up word for zippity-fast. It took forever to get to Lucille's house. We drove and drove and drove. Then, whew, at last, we turned down Lucille's long driveway. Lucille's house, we're finally at Lucille's house, I shouted out. I leaned my nose close against the window. Remember when I came here last year, Daddy, I said? Me and my friend Grace spent the night at this place, and I ate dinner and breakfast with their richy, expensive Nana. Then, oh my gosh, I saw her. I saw the rich, expensive Nana. She was standing there with Lucille's mother and Daddy and brother. They were welcoming all the cars. I opened up my door and I ran to her. Well, 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 we meet again, Nana, I hollered real happy. Then I hugged my arms around her middle, and I tried to lift her up off the ground, only she didn't actually budge that good. I stepped back and looked at her. The Nana had put on a few pounds, I believe. After that, I tried to lift her again, but this time she took my arms away. Oh, dear. No, young lady, you mustn't try to pick me up, she said. You'll hurt yourself. I looked at her kind of puzzled. Yeah, only I am not a young lady, Nana, I said. Look, see, it's me. It's Junie B. Jones. I pointed at my face. Don't you remember me? Huh? I spent the night here with Lucille and Grace. Remember that, Nana? It was the time of our life, I said. The Nana looked closer at me. Then all of a sudden, drops of sweaty came on her head. She took out a tissue and dabbed herself. Oh, my. Oh, dear. Yes, I remember now, she said. She did a little shiver. Junie B. Jones. I remember you well. I skipped around her in a circle. Today is gonna be fun, right, Nana? Today I am gonna find that golden egg. After I skipped, I held out my hand to do a high five. But the Nana didn't actually respond, and so I just swatted at her sleeve, and that's all. Just then, another car drove up down the driveway. I turned around, and oh boy, it was my good friend named Shirley. Plus, after Shirley came Sheldon, and after Sheldon came Roger, and after Roger came Camille and Chenille, and Herbert and Jose and Lenny. And then all the rest of the other children in room one came too. Only wait till you hear this. I didn't see you know who. I looked all around to be sure. Then I crossed my fingers for luck, and I hoped that maybe May wouldn't show up at all. Cause maybe she would forget that the party was today, possibly. I thought a minute, or else maybe her daddy's car would get 4 flat tires. Or maybe his battery would go dead, or maybe his muffler would fall off in the middle of the street. I thought some more and did a grin. Or else maybe May was playing in her backyard this morning, and she bent over to tie her shoe, and floof, she got carried off by a North American barn owl. I bent over and I laughed out loud. Now that was a good one. Chapter 4. Eggs and Sweaty and Other Stuff. Just as I was getting hope, another car pulled up, and phooey. Sitting in the back seat was May! May! May's here! She shouted through the open window. She was clapping and cheering for herself. Then she jumped up out of the car, and she ran to Lucille's family, and she started shaking all their hands. Hello, hello, I'm May, and I've come to win the golden egg, she told them. She skipped to Lucille and held out her dress. Look, Lucille, look, look. My dress is really like yours. I gave this outfit a lot of thought, cause I wanted to look like my best friends today. She threw her arm around Lucille's shoulder. Sheldon ran up and took it off. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You'll have to pick someone else to be your best friend, May. Lucille's my best friend these days, remember? May stood there for a second. Then she leaned into Sheldon's face. You're not fooling anyone, Mr. Potts. You're just pretending to like Lucille the same as I am, she said. You're just trying to get her to tell you where the golden egg is. Lucille looked shocked at that comment. That's not true, is it, Sheldon? You're not just pretending to like me, right? She asked. Cause I told you before, I don't know where the golden egg is. My daddy hid it all by himself, and he wouldn't let me peek. She glanced at her daddy, very annoyed. I tried to make him tell me where he hid it, Chelsea, but daddy locked his lips, and he threw away the key. Drat. The old invisible key trick, he said. I hate that one. Finally, he took a breath, and he calmed himself down. Then he patted Lucille very sweet. Don't worry, my springy little lamb, he said. I will still find the golden egg and win the playdate. I'm positive I will. He lowered his voice kind of private. I'm wearing a lucky charm today, he said real soft. Lucille's mouth came up wide open at that news. A lucky charm, she shouted. You have a lucky charm? What is it, Chelsea? What is it? Sheldon pointed down at his shirt. See that little egg dribble on my collar right there? That little egg dribble ran off of my chin at breakfast, and look, Lucille, it landed on my collar in the exact shape of, he paused real dramatic, an egg, he whispered. Lucille did a shiver. Oh, Chelsea, that seems like magic almost, she said. Sheldon nodded.
I know it, Lucille. It seems exactly like magic, almost, he said. My Grandpa Ned has had every shirt stain in the book. And he said that when egg dribble lands in the shape of an egg, it means... Sheldon did a hard swallow. May the egg be with me. Lucille did another shiver. Sheldon smiled. With a magic egg shirt like this, I can't lose today, Lucille, he said. I just can't. After that, he hurried over to the Nana, and he tried to show her his egg shirt, but the Nana backed up from him. Then she quick grabbed Lucille's daddy, and she said the words, "Do something." The daddy cleared his loud throat. "Boys and girls, may I please have your attention," he said. "First, I would like to welcome you to the party today." Lucille hopped in front of him. "Yes, yes, welcome to my party, and welcome to my giant house, and welcome to my big, huge yard, too." She bent down and touched the grass. "See how perfect the lawn is cut, everyone?" "That's because we have a real professional gardener, on account of rich people don't know the first thing about yard work. Right, Daddy?" "Plus, rich people don't like to get our hands dirty." Everyone looked at the daddy's hands. He quick put them in his pockets. Lucille kept on talking. "And did everyone see my brand new expensive Easter dress?" she asked. She spun around and flounced herself. "This dress is made out of fancy, floaty chiffon. And fancy, floaty chiffon is as light as a feather," she said. She fluffed her flouncy skirt. "Who would like for me to hop in the air and make it float? Please clap your hands," she said. But before we could clap, Lucille already started hopping. She hopped and hopped until sweaty came on her lip. Then Lucille's mother quick ran over and she dabbed at her face with a tissue. I looked over at Herbert. "This family has serious perspiration issues, I believe." Just then, Lucille's daddy cleared his loud throat again. "Children, as you all know, we're going to be having a picnic and Easter egg hunt today. But for this party to go smoothly, we're going to need your complete cooperation, okay?" he asked. "Okay," we shouted back. "Okay, okay." The daddy smiled. "The first thing I'd like you to do is get into a nice straight line," he said. "A nice straight line, a nice straight line," we shouted again. Room one is excellent at repeating things. The daddy looked at us. "Okay, fine. As I was saying, if you get into a nice straight line, we'll lead you to the picnic grounds in the back of the house." "The back of the house, the back of the house," we hollered out. The daddy stopped smiling. We were starting to get on his nerves, I think. Next to him, Lucille's mother and Nana were doing deep breathing. The brother had already gone inside to watch TV. Finally, all of us got into a nice straight line. Then the mother and daddy and Nana did a group hug with each other, and they led us to the picnic grounds. And wowie, wow, wow, I could not believe my eyeballs. 'Cause in the way back, on the way, we passed by Lucille's hugey big swimming pool, and it was inside of a big glass house. All of room nine did a gasp at that sight. I ran to Lucille and hugged her around the middle. "Lucille, Lucille, you are even richer than you used to be. Your swimming pool is in a big glass house now, and so my play date with you will be even funner than I thought." Lucille took my hands off of her. "Junie B, you silly Junie B Jones, you know the rules. If you want the play date, you're going to have to find the golden egg. And that's not going to be easy because my boyfriend Chelsea is wearing his magic egg shirt." She looked at Sheldon and did a wink, and Sheldon winked back. But May was watching that action. "Hey, hey, hey," she grouched. "That better not be a secret wink about the golden egg, because if you're winking about the golden egg, I'm telling." She poked Sheldon with her finger. "I'm going to be watching every move you make, Sheldon Potts. I'm going to be all over you like a cheap suit." I did a frown at that comment. I do not know what a cheap suit means exactly, but here's what I do know.
For the first time in my life, Meg was right, I think. Whoever wanted to find that golden egg could not let Sheldon out of their sight.
Chapter 5. The Jelly Bean Game. Lucille's daddy clapped his loud hands together. Boys and girls, please find a seat at one of the picnic tables. Lunch will be served shortly, he called. I waited to see where Sheldon was going to sit. May waited, too. Cause both of us had to keep track of that guy, of course. Only too bad for me, because as soon as Sheldon picked a table, Lucille sat down next to him. And vroom, May slid in on his other side. And I got shut out. Wait, hold it, no fair, I said. Then I quick tried to squeeze myself between May and Sheldon, but May would not budge herself. I did a grr face at her. May hissed like a snake. I stood there very puzzled. I do not actually have a comeback for a hiss. Finally, I went to another side of the table, and I sat down across from them. That dumb May, I groaned, just to myself. She keeps getting one step ahead of me today. Plus, Sheldon is one step ahead of me, too. I looked across the table. Lucille was whispering to Sheldon, very secret. May leaned her head over, and she listened through Sheldon's other ear. Whispers can come right through Sheldon's head, apparently. I put my chin in my hands. I don't stand a chance in this stupid egg hunt, I said to Herb. He gave me a little pat. Sometimes a little pat is all a friend can do. Only guess what? Just then, I saw something very nice. And it's called, Lucille's Nana walked over to where I was sitting, and she sat in the chair at the end of my table. I jumped up real thrilled. Nana! Nana! Look, look! It's me! It's Junie B. Jones, and you're sitting right exactly next to me, I shouted. The Nana glanced her eyes at Lucille's mother and daddy. Yes, I know, dear. I lost the coin toss, she said, kind of annoyed. I sat back down and I tickled her arm. This reminds me of when we ate dinner together last year, I said. That was very fun, except I accidentally broke your crystal glass. Remember that, Nana? Huh, do you? The Nana nodded. Oh, yes, I remember, she said. I thought back. Plus, I accidentally busted your feather pillow, and if I'm not mistaken, I spilled some beanie weenies in your expensive linen tablecloth, I said. The Nana looked at me. You're not mistaken, she said back. I smiled and patted her hand. Good times, I said, real soft. May heard me talking. Well, Lucille and I are going to have good times too, right, Lucille? When I come to swim in your pool, that will be really good times, she said. Sheldon looked at her and grinned. Don't count your chickens before they're hashed, May, he said. Then Anna did a little chuckle. I think you mean hatched, dear. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched, not hashed, she said. Sheldon raised his eyebrows. Really? Are you sure? 'Cause at our house, my Aunt Bunny brings chicken hash for dinner every Sunday. Chicken hash is her specialty, he said. He smiled real proud. Aunt Bunny was a chef in prison, he said. The Nana's face went funny. She lowered her head to the table, and she rested her cheek on her napkin. I leaned my face down next to her. Speaking of bunnies, Lucille said the Easter Bunny would be here today, only I haven't actually seen him yet. And so, where is he anyway, Nana? I asked. Lucille did a huff at me. Nosy Junie B. Jones. Why do you have to ask that question, she said. My Nana does not want to talk about that. Do you, Nana? You made a teensy little mistake about the bunny, and you don't want anyone to know about how you almost ruined the party. The Nana did a groan, but Lucille kept on talking. My Nana was in charge of hiring the Easter Bunny, only instead of hiring the real Easter Bunny, she hired a cheap, fake Easter Bunny. Right, Nana? The Nana didn't reply. Lucille went on. The fake bunny came to our house to get his pay yesterday. Only his fur was real matty, and the top of his ear was chewed off. Plus, he told my Nana that he freshened up nicely. And so, Nana gave him cash money in advance. And then he hopped out the front door, and he never came back. The Nana raised her head. Thank you, Lucille, she said. Thank you for sharing that with everyone. You're welcome, Nana, said Lucille, very pleasant. You're welcome. The Nana rolled her eyes. Lucille does not understand sarcastic, I believe. Just then, Lucille's daddy stood up from a picnic table, and he said it was time to get this show on the road. He held up a silver bell and rang it in the air. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling. Then, boom, waiters started bringing in food from all over the place, and it was the deliciousest food I ever saw. There was barbecued hamburgers and tasty hot dogs and crispy chicken fingers and crunchy salad and yummy potato chips and the Swedish pickles. Plus, there were even delicious devilish eggs. Whoa, what a spread, I said. I stuffed a devilish egg in my mouth, and I also stuffed in a pickle and some chips and a giant chicken finger. I didn't stop stuffing for a real long time. Then finally, I leaned back and I rubbed my big fat tummy. Phew! I'm about to bust a gusset, I said. Are you, Nana? Huh? Are you about to bust a gusset, too? The Nana frowned her eyebrows. Ladies don't bust gussets, Junie B, she said. I was real surprised to hear that information. Really, I said? Then what do ladies bust? Roger raised his hand. At our house, we bust our guts, he said. Herb smiled. At our house, we bust our buttons, he said. Sheldon stood up. At our house, we just unzip our pants, he said. After that, everyone at our table laughed and laughed, except not for Nana. Finally, all of us got finished eating, and the waiters just took our plates away. Then wowie wow wow! Lucille's daddy brought out the most beautifulest box I ever saw. It was wrapped in shiny yellow paper with twirly-curly ribbons. He held it way high in the air so all of us could see. Whoa! Whose birthday is it? I shouted, real excited. Lucille jumped up and giggled. That's not a birthday present, Junie B. It's a game prize, she said. Before we hunt for eggs, we're going to play a very fun game. And whoever wins that prize will get the thrill of a lifetime. Right, Daddy? The Daddy smiled. Well, we certainly hope the winner will be thrilled, he said. It's a pretty good prize, we think. Just then, he put down the box, and he pulled out a big jar of jelly beans out of a paper bag. This game is called the Jelly Bean Game, he said. Can everyone see all of the jelly beans that are in this jar? We've got lots of colors, don't we? We've got reds and yellows and blues and blacks and greens and oranges and whites. He stopped and held up his finger. But, he said, in this whole big jar of jelly beans, there is just one purple one. All of us made a hushy sound. Ooh, we said together. Just one purple one. The daddy smiled. Then he put the jar back in the bag so that we couldn't see the colors anymore. Okay. Now I'm going to walk around to each picnic table, and each of you will have a chance to reach into the jar and pull out a jelly bean, he said. But remember, you may only pull out one, okay? Okay, we hollered. Okay, okay. Lucille hurried over and held up the beautiful box. And remember this, too. The first person to pull out the purple jelly bean will get this prize, she said. The thrill of a lifetime. All of us clapped and clapped. Then we bounced and giggled and wiggled and clapped, and we waited for the jelly bean jar to come to us. It was the nervousest wait of my whole life, I think. Because what if someone got the purple jelly bean before I even got my turn? That would ruin my whole entire chance. I put my hands in front of my eyes. Then I peeked through my fingers. And I watched the children pick. Roger's table went first. He picked a red bean. Then Camille picked an orange bean. And Chanel picked a green bean. And Shirley picked up a blue bean. And my table came next. My heart was beating faster. Jose picked a yellow bean. Then Lenny picked a white bean. And May picked another white bean. And Sheldon picked a black bean. And then at last, it was time for me. My heart was pounding like crazy. I bent over and did some deep breathing. The daddy held out the bag to me. I breathed some more. Okay, Junie B, he said. Anytime now. I stood up and did a big gulp. Then very slowly, I reached my hand inside the bag. I felt all around for the purple. I wrinkled my eyebrows real curious. What does purple feel like, I wonder? I said just to myself. The daddy said, please hurry up. I swished my fingers through the jar some more. Then all of a sudden, I felt it, I tell you. I felt purple. It felt roundish and beanish and purplish. I grabbed it real tight. Then I quick pulled my hand out of the jar and I opened up my fingers and guess what? Chapter 6, Me and Santa. It was purple, that's what. I jumped up and down and all around. Purple, purple, I got purple, I shouted. I'm getting the thrill of a lifetime. I'm getting the thrill of a lifetime. I skipped over to May and I smiled real big in her face. And I skipped to the middle of the table and I did a giant bow. Giant bows are very enjoyable, even when no one is actually clapping for you. After I stopped bowing, Lucille's daddy handed me the beautiful box. I pulled off the paper as fast as I could and I lifted off its lid. I stared inside. I said, very puzzled. It's, a box of pink fur? I scratched my head. I've always wanted a box of pink fur, possibly, I said. Lucille laughed real loud. Silly Junie B. Jones. It's not just a box of pink fur. Take it out so you can see what it really is, she said. Then, just as I was about to pick it up, Lucille grabbed the pink fur and she held it up in front of me. And that is the last actual fun I had at the party. A bunny suit. See? It's a bunny suit, shouted Lucille. Junie B is going to be our party's very own Easter bunny. May laughed real loud. She's going to be our dumb bunny, you mean, she called out. Junie B Jones is going to be our very own dumb bunny. Just then, the rest of the children began to laugh, too. Lucille stamped her mad foot at them. Stop it, she said. Junie B is not going to be our dumb bunny. She's going to be our Easter bunny. This is the finest costume money can buy. She held it out to me. Here, Junie B, put it on and show everyone how cute it is. She handed me the costume. I swallowed real hard. Yeah, only here's the problem, Lucille. I don't actually like costumes that much. Not even at Halloween, I said. Mostly, I just like dressing up as Junie B. Jones, and that's all. Lucille's whole mouth came open at that news. She put her hands over her ears. Oh, no. Do not tell me that, Junie B. Jones, she said. You have to be the bunny. You have to. She ran to her daddy and pulled on his arm. Make her, Daddy. Make Junie B be the bunny. Make her, she yelled. Lucille's daddy rubbed his chin. Well, we certainly would like it if Junie B was the bunny, he said, but we can't really make her, Lucille. Lucille jumped up and down at me. You're going to ruin my whole party, Junie B Jones, she grouched. We hired an expensive photographer and everything. We're supposed to all get our pictures taken with you.
My ears perked up at that news. Pictures, I said, kind of curiously. Lucille nodded. Yes, pictures, she said. The photographer has a seat set up for you in the flower garden. My ears perked up some more. A seat? I said. You mean like a Santa seat? Lucille jumped way high in the air. Yes, yes, exactly like a Santa seat, she said. The photographer is waiting for you. You're going to be a celebrity, Junie B. Will you do it, huh? Will you? I sat down in the grass to think about it. Lucille's daddy bent down next to me. You don't have to do this if you don't want to, Junie B, he said. But we do need to get on with the party. So, could you make up your mind, please? Do you want to be the bunny, or do you want us to get someone else? Just then, Sheldon shot his hand in the air. I'll do it. I'll do it, he yelled, real excited. I'd love to have my picture taken with everyone. Me too, hollered Shirley. I would love to do that too. I looked at those two kind of curious. Maybe I was wrong about the situation. Maybe being a famous bunny really was the thrill of a lifetime. I pulled the bunny suit closer to me. Then, very slowly, I put one foot inside the costume, then the other foot, then zip, zip, snap. The daddy fastened me up, and bingo, I was a bunny. Chapter 7, Polite Rules. I looked down at myself. My bunny feet were bigger than clown feet. Also, my ears were floppish, and my bunny hands looked like giant paw mitts. I held them out in front of me. I could take a pie out of the oven with these things, I said. Lucille skipped all around me and clapped. Yay, yay, yay! We have a bunny! We have a bunny! She sang real happy. After that, she grabbed my bunny paw, and she started skipping me over to the flower garden. Only too bad for me, 'cause skipping with giant bunny feet does not actually work that good. And so, kerplop, I fell right over in the grass. Some of the children started to laugh. Lucille shooed them away. Then she quick hurried to pick me up. Only her dress started to get wrinkly, and so she dropped me in the grass again. And she smoothed her skirt very neat. Plus, also she fluffed her hair and she shined her shoes. After that, she yelled to her daddy, real urgent. Daddy, daddy, the bunny's down. Come get the bunny. Come get the bunny. The daddy ran over and picked me up. Then he started carrying me to the flower garden. It felt embarrassing up there. I tapped on his head. This does not actually make me feel like a celebrity, I said. The daddy kept on going. I tapped on his head again. No one actually carries Santa, I said. Just then we got to the flower garden. The daddy put me down, and he showed me the photographer. His name was Bud. Bud sat me in a bunny seat and arranged my floppy ears. After that, he went to his camera, and he took my picture. Beautiful, he said. Gorgeous. I smiled. I like this, Bud. Pretty soon, the children lined up to get their pictures taken with me. And guess what? My bestest friend named Herbert was the very first one in line. He zoomed to my seat real happy. I think you look nice as that in that bunny costume, he said. You don't even look stupid, hardly. I smiled again. Thank you, Herbert. You don't look stupid, too, I said back. After that, both of us said cheese, and Bud took our picture. Lenny came next. Then after Lenny came Jose, and after Jose came Shirley, and after Shirley came all the other children in room 9. Except not for May. Instead, May sat in the grass all by herself because she was not a celebrity, of course. I said cheese a million times. Bud kept on saying beautiful and gorgeous to me. I felt very puffery inside. I am an excellent celebrity, I told him. I am making these children's day. Bud laughed. I do not know why. Finally, all the pictures got taken. Bud shook my paw mitt goodbye. I will miss him. After that, Herb and I walked back to the picnic grounds. And wait till you hear this. Lucille's mother was passing out baskets for the Easter egg hunt. I started to run to get my basket, only what do you know? Kerblop. I tripped and fell in the grass again. The children laughed some more. I pretended I didn't care. It's fun to fall, I said. Real stupid. Even Herb rolled his eyes at that one. Lucille's mother helped me up and gave me a basket. I looked at her very upset. Yeah, only how am I supposed to hunt for eggs in these big, giant bunny feet, I said. I can't even run in these clumsy things. Plus, also, I can't tackle or scuffle. The mother looked shocked at me. Tackle, she said? Scuffle? Oh, my, no. This is going to be a polite Easter egg hunt, Junie B. There will be no running or tackling or scuffling. We're all going to behave like little ladies and gentlemen. Just then, there was a loud commotion behind me. I turned around. May was pointing and yelling at Sheldon and Lucille. Stop whispering secrets, Lucille, she shouted. You're telling Sheldon where the golden egg is. I know you are. I'm telling your daddy. I'm telling your daddy. The daddy rushed over there to separate those guys. This bickering has got to stop, he said. If you three can't behave yourselves, you won't be hunting for eggs at all. I smiled at that comment. That would be a nice development, I thought. After he finished scolding them, Lucille's daddy blew a whistle, and he told us to line up at the starting line. Everyone zoomed past me. I lifted my feet and stepped real careful. Then finally, I got there, and the daddy started telling us the egg hunt rules. Rule number one, he said, no running. Rule number two, no pushing, pulling, or grabbing. Rule number three, no trampling the flowers and plants. And finally, rule number four, do not go anywhere that is roped off. He looked up and down the line at us. Does everyone understand the rules? He said. I thought for a minute. Then I raised my hand. Also, there is no tackling or scuffling, correct? I said. Cause I've already been informed about that situation. The daddy looked odd at me. Well, of course there's no tackling or scuffling, Junie B, he said. That goes without saying. I thought some more. Then I pointed my giant bunny feet. Plus, there should be no tripping the bunny, right? I said. Cause the bunny is wearing unfair feet. The daddy frowned. There's no tripping anyone, Junie B, he said. I nodded. Yes, but there's especially no tripping the bunny, correct? I asked again. The daddy sucked in his cheeks. Okay, fine. There's especially no tripping the bunny, he said. Now, may I continue? I smiled. The daddy continued. The hunt will begin when I count to three, he said. You will have 30 minutes to hunt for the eggs. When I blow my whistle, you will all stop hunting immediately, and you will bring your baskets back to the table. Roger raised his hand. What's the prize for finding the most eggs, he asked. Lucille's mother smiled. Then she held up a big wad of flowers. The person who has the most eggs will receive this beautiful bouquet for his or her mother, she said. They're irises from our flower garden. I picked them myself. Aren't they lovely? Roger looked at the irises. I think my mother would rather have a set of Power Rangers, he said. Lucille's mother made squinty eyes at him. That meant no Power Rangers, I believe. Just then, the daddy blew his whistle. Okay, everyone. Ready to start? He said. Ready, we hollered back. Ready, ready, ready. And so the daddy raised his hand in the air, and 1, 2, 3, the egg hunt was started. Chapter 8, Swooping. The children ran. They ran everywhere, I tell you. They ran to and fro and up and down and back and forth and here and there. Also, Roger ran sideways and Lenny ran in a circle. I watched them very fascinated. Some of the children were tackling and scuffling. Sheldon went through a shrub, and that's when Lucille's daddy blew his whistle again. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Everyone come back here right now, he shouted, real mad. Everyone came back. Sheldon had a stick in his ear. He sputtered and pointed at May. She pushed me. May pushed me through a bush. May stamped her foot. No, I did not, Sheldon. I did not push you. You pushed yourself, she said. She turned and looked at the daddy. It was the darnest thing you ever saw, she said. He shoved himself right in through that shrub. The daddy stood there a real long time, and he walked over to a picnic bench, and he sat down real slow. He hit himself in the head. I went over and tapped on him. I would just like to point out that the bunny did not run, I said. The bunny was the only one who walked. May overheard me. That's because the bunny can't run or the bunny falls down, she called. The bunny should not get credit for that. The daddy hit himself on the head again. I walked back to Herbert. He looked kind of worried. The daddy is coming unglued, he said. I nodded. Yes, I said. The daddy is going to need backup, I believe. Backup is the grown-up word for the police might need to come, possibly. And guess what? Me and Herb were not the only ones thinking that either, cause just then Lucille's Nana hollered real loud. Enough, she hollered. I've had enough of this nonsense with you children. Then she cupped her hands around her mouth and she shouted a brand new rule. It was called, if there's any more running or fighting, she's gonna call the cops. All of the children did a loud gulp. I looked at Herbert. That new rule seems a bit harsh, I said. Only guess what else? The new rule worked, I think, because pretty soon the Nana started the egg hunt again, and this time, no one ran at all. No one even walked hardly. Instead, we all behaved like little ladies and gentlemen, and we hunted for eggs very polite. May stuck to Sheldon like glue. I tried to stick to him, too, but my giant feet could not keep up that good. May kept on grouching. You're not going to get that golden egg before I do, Sheldon. Even if you know where it is, I'll still beat you to it, she said. I'm all over you like flies on egg salad. Sheldon rolled his eyes. But I don't know where the golden egg is, May. I've already told you that. I don't know anything at all. I cupped my mitts around my mouth. I believe you, Sheldon. I believe you don't know anything at all, I shouted. I've never thought you've known anything at all. After that, I hurried to catch up to him, cause I definitely thought he knew something, of course. Sheldon turned to wait for me. Then all of a sudden, he glanced down at the ground, and he did a loud gasp. I see one! I see one! I see one! He shouted. Me and I turned to look. There was a bright green egg under the bushes. Sheldon clapped and laughed. Then he hurried over to pick it up, but whoosh, swoop, scoop. May ducked underneath him speedy fast, and she picked it up instead. I got it, I got it, I got it, she screeched. Then she put the egg in her basket and danced all around. Sheldon's face got sputtery mad, but before he could even yell at her, he did another gasp. I see one, I see one, I see one, he shouted, even louder than before. Then he clapped his hands, and he laughed real happy, and he hurried over to pick it up, but whoosh, swoop, scoop. May beat him to it again. Two! Now I have two, she hollered. She jumped up in the air and kicked her feet. I swooped. I'm a swooper. I swoop, she said. She ran back to Sheldon and leaned in his face. I knew I would beat you at this game, she said. Now I have two eggs and you have Junie B. She leaned in her head to count in our baskets. Let's count them. Zero. You have zero, and I have two. Two to zero. Two to zippity-zip zero. Sheldon looked at me real upset. I frowned my eyes at him. Helpful hint, I said. Stop shouting, I see one. Sheldon pointed at his magic egg shirt. But I just don't get it, Junie B, he said. My grandpa said the egg is with me. So why isn't this magic shirt working? I looked a little closer at the egg dribble. Maybe it's not lucky, I said. Maybe it's just dirty. Sheldon slumped his shoulders. Then he reached down his finger and flicked off the egg. Only wait till you hear this.
Just as he flicked it off, his eyes got big and wide again. This time, I hurried to cover his mouth with my hand, but Sheldon shouted right through my paw mitt. "I see one, I see one, I see one," he shouted. Then, before he could even move his feet, whoosh, swoop, scoop, Meg grabbed egg number 3. She twirled in a happy circle around us. 3-0, 3-0, it's 3-2-0, she yelled. Sheldon stood real still. Then, very slowly, he put down his basket, and he stretched out the sides of his mouth with his fingers, and he stuck out his tongue at May. That was appropriate behavior, I believe. After that, he snatched his basket up again, and he tried to rush away from May. But too bad for Sheldon, because May stayed exactly right on his heels. They were walking too fast for me to keep up. I stopped and watched them. Then I did a big sigh, and I walked to a tree stump and sat down very glum. "I hate being this dumb bunny," I said, "cause my feet are too big and my legs are too slow and my paw mitts are way too clumsy." I slumped my shoulders and looked in the empty basket. I did another sigh, cause let's face it, the bunny was a rotten egg. Chapter 9. Lucky Bunny. Sheldon found 3 more eggs. May swooped all of them. Every time she swooped, she shouted her head off. 4, 4, now I have 4. 5, 5, now I have 5. 6, 6, now I got 6. I just got 6. 6 was Sheldon's limit, apparently. He stomped to my tree stump and threw his empty basket in the grass. "That's it. I'm done. I'm not looking for 1 more egg for that girl. Let her find her own stupid eggs. I quit," he said. May came chasing after him. "No, Sheldon, no, you can't quit. You can't. Come on, we're a team," she said. We're Team May." Sheldon did a huffy breath at her. "No, we're not. We're not Team May," he grouched. "I'm an egg finder, and you're some creepy swooping bird girl who steals them." May's mouth opened real shocked. "I did not steal your eggs, Sheldon Potts. Those eggs were still in the grass when I picked them up. Just because you saw them first didn't make them yours." "Picking them up is what makes the eggs yours," Sheldon started to yell back. Then he stopped and looked at me. "Shoot," he said. "I think she has a valid point there." May smiled real smuggy. "Thank you, Sheldon," she said back. "You're not welcome," he said back. "And I'm still not looking for any more eggs, May. I'm still quitting." May was not expecting that development. She started to sputter. But you have to look for more eggs, Sheldon. You have to. Just a couple more eggs and I can win this whole thing," she said. "Plus, you still haven't found the golden egg for me yet." Just then the Nana walked by. May reached out and grabbed her arm. "Tell him, Nana. Tell him he can't quit," she said. "Sheldon is my team. And when you're on my team, you can't quit. It's not fair." The Nana looked puzzled for a second. Then she did a little frown and shook her head. "Oh, my, no," she said. "I'm sorry, dear, but there are no teams on an egg hunt. An egg hunt is an individual competition." May did not like that answer. She pulled on the Nana's arm some more. But Sheldon has to help me. He has to. The Nana interrupted her. "If you don't let go of my arm, I'm going to give you a swat, dear," she said. May let go. The Nana smoothed herself and walked on. Sheldon laughed real loud. "I like that Nana," he said. I smiled. "I like that Nana, too," I said. I nudged him with my elbow. "Maybe someday she'll be your Nana-in-law." Sheldon did a loud hoot. After that, we did a high five and a low five and a medium five. Then I scooted over so he could share my tree stump. Lucille spotted us there. Her whole face lighted up when she saw Sheldon. "Chelsea, Chelsea, I've been looking for you. Where's your basket?" she asked. "Did you find the golden egg yet? Huh? Did you, Chelsea? Did you?" Sheldon's face went funny. Well, my magic egg shirt didn't work out that good, Lucille," he said. "I kept finding the eggs, but May kept on swooping them. And so now I'm just sort of, May butted her head in. "Quitting," she hollered. "He's quitting, Lucille. Tell him he can't quit. Tell him right now." Lucille raised her eyebrows. "You're quitting, Chelsea? Why are you quitting? You have to find the golden egg, remember?" she said. "If you don't find the golden egg, I will have to swim in my pool with someone I don't actually care for." She started to get annoyed. "Think of me, Sheldon. You have to think of me," she said. "Don't you know anything about being a boyfriend? Boyfriends do not let their girlfriends swim with other people they don't care for.
Sheldon didn't answer. Lucille's face got madder. Sweat came on her head and lip.
Well, for goodness sake, don't just sit there, Sheldon. Go find that egg, she snapped.
Then she wiped her sweat on her expensive dress sleeve, and she stomped away. Sheldon watched her go. Finally, he turned and looked at me.
My little lamb did not actually handle that well, he said, kind of quiet. He paused for a second.
Also, she turned into a sweaty drip ball, he added. Just then, May stuck her head in between us.
Come on, Sheldon. You heard what Lucille told you. You have to find the golden egg. Come on, find it right now.
Then she grabbed his arm and she tried to pull him up, but Sheldon did not budge himself. He shook her off like she was a bug. I admire that style. After that, both of us sat there until the hunt was almost over, and then we started walking back up to the picnic tables. Only too bad for me, because I forgot to pick up my huge feet, and I fell down in the grass again. And that's when it happened. I saw something gleaming. It was gleaming right in my eyes, I mean. I blinked and looked at it again, and then I quick tried to cover my mouth with my paw mitt, but the words came rushing right out of my lips.
The golden egg! The golden egg! I see the golden egg!
May and Sheldon looked down and saw it too. For a second, all of us stood there real frozen. Then, oomph, hoof, woof! We all dived for it at once and slap, slap, slap! We piled our hands on top.
I've got it! I've got it! I've got it! We shouted.
Then suddenly, all of us got very silent and we stared and stared at our hand pile. My heart started to pound. I stared some more, then my mouth fell open, and I did a loud gasp, because the egg was under my giant paw mitt. That's why.
Oh, my gosh, I really did do it. I do got it, I hollered.
Sheldon frowned. Are you sure? He asked. He wiggled his fingers to locate himself.
Shoot, he said. I was hoping that big paw was mine.
I looked odd at him. That was a joke, I hope.
Well, at least you beat May, he said, real happy. Beating May is still good, Sheldon.
Then kaboom! May exploded like a firecracker. She yanked her hand off the top of the pile and she slapped it on the ground.
He did not beat me, Junie Jones. Sheldon has 0 eggs and I have 6. How can you say he beat me, you dumb bunny, she yelled.
That's when I exploded, too.
I am not a dumb bunny, May, I shouted back. I am the celebrity of this whole entire occasion. Plus, you didn't even find 1 single egg on your own, and so I will show you how Sheldon can beat you. I will show you exactly right now, in fact.
Then, without even thinking about it, I quick slid my paw off of the golden egg, and I let Sheldon's hand drop on top.
There.
Ha.
See, May? See? Now Sheldon has the golden egg, and you don't. And the golden egg is the winner of the whole event, I said.
May's eyes got as big as bowls. Sheldon's eyes got big, too. He grabbed the egg in both of his hands, and he jumped up like a rocket. May slumped her face in the grass. Then, tweet, 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 the Nana blew the whistle, and that was that. The egg hunt was over.
Chapter 10, Decisions. Monday. Dear First Grade Journal. Today at school, Sheldon keeps on hugging me. Lucille keeps hugging me, too. May keeps glaring at me. She needs anger management classes, I think. I quit writing and I thought about the party. May didn't win the most eggs, cause guess who did? My friend Jose, that's who. And guess who got to present the flowers to him? Me, the bunny. Jose was the happiest boy I ever saw. He jumped way high in the air.
Las flores para mi padre. Las flores para mi madre, he said.
Muchas gracias, conejo.
I giggled, very happy. Conejo means bunny in Spanish, I think. I smiled at that memory. Then I started to write in my journal some more. Sometimes I'm not happy about giving the golden egg to Sheldon, because I made that decision on the spur of the moment, and I still wanted to swim in Lucille's hot water. Only here is the confusing thing. Sometimes I am happy about what I did for Sheldon, because seeing his face made me smile inside. And so that is something for me to think about, I guess. And guess what else?
I'm not calling May Dumb Bunny anymore, probably. Cause bunnies aren't that dumb, of course. And so now I'm going to call May a different name. Uh-oh. She just glared at me again. I think I will offer her a jelly bean. Cause that would be a nice gesture by me. Please stand by. I put down my pencil and I reached into my pocket. Then I pulled out the candy bag that I had brought to school. And I held it out to her. Would you like a jelly bean, bird girl? I said, real pleasant. May sputtered and stuttered, very shocked. Then she quick raised her hand to tattle. Mr. Scary, Mr. Scary, Mr. Scary, she hollered. Mr. Scary looked back at us. His face did not look delightful. I ducked down my head. May did a gulp. Then she lowered her hand and started to count to 20. No action was taken. I smiled, very relieved. Then finally, I picked up my pencil one more time, and I finished my journal page. May does not like her new name, apparently. That is going to work out just fine, I think. Have a happy, no, hoppy day. Your friend, Junie B. Smart Bunny. The end. I hope that you enjoyed this story and that you come back for more in the future. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Bye. Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I created a Gmail account so that you could send me emails. I would love to hear where you're listening from. Anything that you would like to tell me, I'm open to reading your emails about it. And also, if you have any book recommendations, I would love to hear them. I'm going to let you know what it is right now. Are you ready? It's the title of the podcast, Beloved Children's Books at gmail.com. Again, Beloved Children's Books at gmail.com. I hope to hear from you soon.